Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Evidence of a Spirit-filled life. You know, through the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see the Spirit of God on men or in men or filling men. And when we do, we can look at what's happening as a result of the Spirit of God in them. And by that, we can see, you know, the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. And the first thing that we notice when we study the Bible, the first evidence that we see of a Spirit-filled life is this: scriptural words. Scriptural words. Look in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, people will say the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God is speaking in tongues because of what you read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Well, in this study today, you are going to see many, many instances of people being filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the only instance where you're going to see that they're speaking in tongues. And what you need to understand about this particular passage is that they're not speaking something that needs to be interpreted. And they're not speaking something that others don't understand. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when they are filled with the Holy Ghost and they are speaking with other tongues, they are speaking scriptural words. You know what they're doing? They're preaching the gospel. And in verse 6, the Bible says that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 8, they said, "How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born," called their native tongue. You see, there were 16 nations of people that were represented there, and in order to be able to preach the gospel to all of them, the Holy Spirit had to allow these men to be able to preach in the language that each could understand. And you know what they were doing? They were preaching of Jesus Christ. Scriptural words. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 8. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what he does? He preaches that the man that was healed by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That Jesus is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of it, the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you know, when they preached this, they preached it boldly, according to verse 13. And according to Acts chapter 4, verse 31, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spake the word of God. Do you see that? They spake the word of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God is evidenced by speaking scriptural words. In Luke chapter 1, verses 41 and 42, when Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God at the arrival of Mary, what she spoke is now recorded for you in Scripture, scriptural words. In Luke chapter 1, in verses 67 to 79, when Zacharias, her husband, was filled with the Spirit, he prophesied scriptural words. The elders, the 70 elders that were with Moses in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter 11, you know what the Bible says? They had the Spirit of God on them and they prophesied. Balaam had the Spirit of God on him, and he prophesied concerning Israel in Numbers chapter 24. Saul, after he was anointed king, met with the prophets, and the Spirit of God was on him, and he prophesied in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. Do you understand? Being filled with the Spirit of God is evidenced by you speaking scriptural words. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when you read David and you read those Psalms, David even said in 2 Samuel 23 that the Spirit of God was on him and gave him the words that are written there for you. So if you want a Spirit-filled life, you need to yield to the work of the Spirit of God in you. And one evidence that the Spirit of God has filled you is that you're going to have a love for the Scriptures. You are. He's the Spirit of truth. He guides you into all truth. He teaches you all things. You'll have a love for the Scriptures, and when you do, you'll read those Scriptures. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God brings those things to your remembrance. And when you're speaking, you'll speak as the oracles of God. That's right. You'll speak as the oracles of God. You will speak scriptural words. Now, if you're not speaking scriptural words, you know, you're talking all about your hunting, you're talking about all your fishing, you're talking about all your work, you talk about your house and all those things, your kids and your grandkids and all those things, and that's all you ever talk about. You know, all those things that are important to you, then you know what? That is evidence that you are not filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because scriptural words never come out of your mouth. All the other things that you like to do, shopping or whatever it is, that's what comes out of your mouth. And if that's the case, listen, it's okay. It just means you're not filled with the Spirit of God, which means you start praying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You start emptying yourself of yourself and your sin, and you let God start filling you with the Spirit of God. You get in that Bible and start reading, and then you know what? Out of your mouth comes scriptural words. It's evidence. Another evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God, the evidence of a Spirit-filled life, is successful warfare. That's right, successful warfare. A lot of people say, oh, I don't like to read that Old Testament. I think the Old Testament is filled with exciting history. And particularly when you get into books like Joshua and Judges and places like that. So in Judges chapter 3, Israel is being troubled by Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And so they need a deliverer. God raises up a deliverer. His name is Othniel. He is Caleb's nephew. And the Bible says in Judges 3:10, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. You know what he did? He prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. That's what he did. And delivered Israel. Gideon is famous in the Bible. Lots of people know about Gideon. Well, let me tell you what. Gideon's success had to do everything with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Judges 6:34, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. A less well-known judge is a judge named Jephthah. He has to deliver Israel from the Ammonites. And you know what the Bible says about Jephthah? In Judges chapter 11 and verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Another very well-known judge is Samson. In Judges chapter 13, verse 25, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him, and the Spirit of the Lord was on him. That's right. You see that in Judges 14:6, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Verse 19, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Yeah, buddy. You know, Samson's strength really had to do a lot with the Spirit of God being on him. Saul, in one of his first battles as king over Israel, had to fight against the Ammonites, against Nahash the Ammonite. And in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verses 6 through 11, Saul wins that battle. What happens? Spirit of the Lord comes on him. Now, we see all these Old Testament battles, and every one of them was a success. All right, well, that tells me something then. You and I are involved in a spiritual warfare. That's right. We have the whole armor of God, and one piece of that armor in Ephesians 6:17 is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See that connection to the Word of God again? And you know what we have to contend with? We have to contend with sin in our lives. and we have to contend with, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you know what there are today? There are a lot of Christians who are plagued by besetting sins, and they're not seeing any victory in their lives. And I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is they're not Spirit-filled. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's what it says. And you say, well, I'm sure having trouble quitting drinking. Then you know what you need to do? You need to get filled with the Spirit of God and quit drinking. And He'll give you the strength to win that war. Now, you and I live in flesh. We're going to deal with sin till the day we die. We're never going to be sinlessly perfect. But you are hopeless to win a victory against some sort of besetting sin in your life without the Spirit of God. Galatians chapter 5 tells you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Romans 8:13 says, If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, you want to see some success in your warfare? Then you'd be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you've done nothing but lose those battles, then you can be sure of one thing. You're not yet filled with the Spirit of God, but you can be. That's the beauty. And the evidence that you are is that you're going to start seeing some success in your warfare. And it has to do with getting that sin out of your life. Being filled with the Spirit of God is evidenced by scriptural words, by successful warfare. I'll tell you something else. Evidence of a Spirit-filled life is supernatural works. Supernatural works. In the Old Testament, Bezalel and Aholiab were given the responsibility of teaching some men and working to build the articles of the tabernacle. I tell you what, I'll guarantee you, building that golden candlestick would have been a challenge. Out of one piece of gold, beaten work of a talent of gold, to make it intricately like they did, that is beyond a human capacity. Exodus chapter 31, verse 2, the Lord says, "I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass," and so forth. Exodus chapter 35, verse 30. "See, the Lord hath called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and he filled him with the Spirit of God." Okay? And then down here in verse 34, "He put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart," and so forth and so on. Those men were able to do the work they did because they were filled with the Spirit. Exodus 28, verse 3, "Aaron's garments had to be made. They had to take gold and beat it into such a fine thin plate that they could cut it into wires and use it like thread to sew in with the scarlet and blue and purple and fine twined linen." Oh, embroidered coat. It was a beautiful thing. You know how they did it? Exodus 28:3, "Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the Spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments." They were able to do these supernatural works, these works that are really beyond. They test the limit of a man's ability. David was filled with the Spirit. He was cunning on that played with cunning when he played that harp. And the Bible says that he was a man of war. And he was prudent in matters. You know where all that came from? How he was equipped for the work? He was equipped for the work by the Spirit of God. He was a mighty, valiant man, a comely person. The Bible says, and the Lord was with him. You know, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, but you know how he did the miracles? How he cast out the devils? In Matthew 12:28, he said he cast out the devils by the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 13, Paul did a miracle by the Spirit of God. Listen, If God has called you to do something, to preach, to be a missionary, to teach a Sunday school class, to lead singing, you're hopeless, absolutely hopeless to get that work done for God if you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. But when you're filled by the Spirit of God, God gives you an ability that is greater than your own ability to do the work he called you to do. Now, I preach on the radio, I preach in church, teach Sunday school, preach in public, invited sometimes to preach out. I'm going to tell you something. As a man, I have the human capacity to be able to string some words together, to read and other things like that. But I will guarantee you that there is no power in preaching unless the Spirit of God is in there. And when I've been filled with the Spirit of God in preaching, there is an obvious difference between that and when I've gotten up to preach and wasn't filled with the Spirit. You can see it. You can see it. You and I must be filled with the Spirit of God. And then God can do something with us. A supernatural work. Something that only he could do through us. That's the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. I'll give you another evidence. Not only are scriptural words evidence of a Spirit-filled life, not only is successful warfare evidence of a Spirit-filled life, not only are supernatural works evidence of a Spirit-filled life, but I'll tell you what else is. Spiritual wisdom. We've already read about Bezalel and Aholiab. We've already seen the wisdom God gave them. But look in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 34. What happens is that Moses lays hands on Joshua, and God gives Joshua the spirit that he put on Moses. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, watch it. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. The spirit of wisdom. The wisdom to get a job done the way God wants it done. The wisdom to give good counsel. The wisdom to be able to do, when it involves other people's lives, what God wants you to do in a leadership capacity that will allow others to be able to follow you. Stephen in Acts chapter 6 was chosen as one of the seven men who would help out with the Grecian widows. And his qualification was that he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And he was. When the men from the various synagogues challenged him, the Bible says in Acts chapter 6 verse 10, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. They had to kill him. It's the only way they could stop him. Joseph, in Genesis chapter 41, verses 38 to 39, had so much of the wisdom of the Spirit of God that Pharaoh, who heard Joseph's interpretation and counsel concerning the interpretation of the dream, said to those who were gathered in Genesis 41:38, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled." You know what he says to him? "Can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Pharaoh knew that the Spirit of God was in Joseph, and that wisdom that he had come from the Spirit of God. They knew the same thing about Daniel in Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Yeah, Belshazzar's grandmother, the queen, he said, "You betcha, that's the spirit of the gods in that man, and he's got wisdom." Can you imagine the wisdom that was necessary to do what Daniel did? He was the president over three presidents and over all the people that ruled in the provinces of the kingdom. Can you imagine the wisdom that was needed for Joseph to be able to rule under Pharaoh in Egypt? 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and he did it. You know how he did it? Because God gave him the wisdom for the job God called him to do. When you're spirit-filled, you'll have the wisdom for the job God called you to do. But I tell you something else. There's another evidence of a spirit-filled life. Not only spiritual wisdom, but listen, submissive willingness. Submissive willingness. Every point here starts with an S and a W, just to help you remember what you're hearing. And in Numbers chapter 27, Moses has been told that he is not going to get to lead Israel into the promised land. So he tells the Lord, set a man over the congregation in Numbers 27:16. And so God does. In verse 18 of Numbers chapter 27, the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Put some of your honor upon him. And so in verse 23, he laid his hands upon him and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And you know what? Joshua was able to lead Israel against 31 kings, and he defeated every one of the most successful general of the army, the most successful judge of any that's ever lived. Now listen, Joshua was Moses' minister before he became this leader of the nation. He knew all those times that Moses had to go on his face and pray because of the murmuring and complaining and the chiding of the children of Israel. The last thing that Joshua would ever want to do is guide these people into that promised land. He knew what he was dealing with. And yet he submitted himself to the will of God and willingly took the leadership and brought them into that country and succeeded in destroying those kings. You know what that was? Submissive willingness. In Acts chapter 9, Ananias lays his hands on Saul, and Saul is filled with the Spirit. That's right. He's filled with the Spirit of God. And when he was, he was immediately baptized and joined himself with the disciples that were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Acts chapter 9, verses 17 to 20. Now, you got to know how hard that was for Saul. He was the one that had been killing all these Christians. But he submitted himself to God, and he was willing to do what God wanted. That's how Jesus Christ went to Calvary. Submissive willingness. And that's evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Lord will lead you into things you don't want to go into. And that leads us to the last point. Evidence of a Spirit-filled life is Spirit-led whereabouts. Spirit-led whereabouts. Obadiah said to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12, I'm afraid the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away, because he knew the Spirit of God was capable of moving Elijah around from place to place. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That was a divine appointment with the devil that Jesus had. Philip, one of the most famous cases you'll read, Acts chapter 8, verse 29. He has gone away from Samaria, where there was a great revival, to find one eunuch in a chariot on his way down to Ethiopia. And verse 29 says, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know what? When he got on board that chariot, the eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, the greatest chapter in the Old Testament, one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boom, right there. And then as soon as the Ethiopian eunuch got baptized, the Bible says in verse 39, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and he went down to Azotus and preached there in Caesarea. The Spirit of God moved him. Paul and Timothy were forbidden to go into Bithynia, I believe, Acts chapter 16, verse 7. The Spirit of God wouldn't let him go. See, that's how that whole thing is. They wanted to go to Bithynia. The Spirit of suffered them not to go. Acts chapter 10, verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord came to Peter, and he said, there's three servants coming. They're Gentiles. Go with them. Divine appointments. When you have a Spirit-filled life, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find more and more God is moving you around, and putting you in contact with people at precisely the time that he wants you to use scriptural words to preach to them about Jesus Christ. It could be one of your neighbors. It could be a valet at a hospital. It could be a nurse that you run into in the hall. It could be a cashier at a store. It could be somebody that you meet on the street in public. Dr. Walter Wilson, a medical doctor who used to take speaking engagements for the Lord, was well aware of Spirit-led whereabouts, and everywhere he went, he would pray diligently that he would be aware of where the Spirit of God was leading him so that he could speak as the oracles of God and witness to people, and he saw people saved all over the place. Why? The Lord was moving him from place to place at precisely the time that he needed to be able to speak to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to know the real evidence of a Spirit-filled life from what you see in the Scripture? It's this. You'll speak scriptural words. You'll have successful warfare. That's right. You'll have victory in your spiritual warfare. You will have supernatural works. In other words, you will be, by the Spirit of God, equipped and gifted for any work that God calls you to do, no matter what it is, cleaning a building, Sunday school teacher, preacher, missionary, whatever it is. You don't have to be afraid. He'll give you the equipment. Spiritual wisdom. So that you will not only have the ability, but you will have the wisdom to know how to do what God's calling you to do, and the counsel that people so desperately need from the Word of God, and the wisdom you'll need to order your own affairs in your life. You'll also have a submissive willingness so that you will go where God wants you to go, and you will do what God wants you to do, and be glad, rested in the Lord Jesus Christ when you do it. And then spiritual whereabouts, you will find more and more that God is using you where you are at any time of the day to speak to another person about the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is evidence of a Spirit-filled life. Our hope, our desire, our prayer is that God will use these lessons to help you to see how to be filled with the Spirit of God so that you can truly do the work that God's called you to do to His pleasure and to your joy. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.